This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here, Radio Missions, First Baptist Church of Algiers. Trailblazer's address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. In our last study, we were looking there in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that walking by faith, living by faith, that's where faith began. Do you understand faith? No, I don't understand it either. But listen, you just can't. Now, let's move on a little bit further. We saw there earlier on, Abel's faith was more excellent than that of Cain. So let's look there, this beginning there. It is said that his sacrifice was more excellent than that of Cain. If Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain, then Cain's sacrifice was excellent in a certain degree. It had to be. Cain brought of the firstling of his fruit. If Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's, then Cain's sacrifice was the excellent in a certain degree. It had to be, because Cain brought of the firstling of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. Now let's go back. Let's go back and look at that. Cain was no infidel. Now, did you ever think about that? We think about Cain as an old reprobate, an old infidel, someone who was a terrible person. No, he acknowledged. He acknowledged the existence of God. He was not an atheist. Cain was not irreligious. He came before the Lord as a worshiper. Thousands today come before God as worshipers. They're not atheists. They're not infidels from that angle. But Cain's trouble was, now listen, you get it, he refused to conform to the divine command. And I find that that's plenty of our folks, many of our folks' trouble today. And that's the reason you're not saved. This is noticed by the nature of his offering. Cain's offering was a bloodless offering. Many of you attempting to bring a bloodless offering unto the Lord. No, he won't have it. He will not have it, no. Cain had sense enough to believe, to know the Bible, to know the scriptures, what scriptures they had. He knew them without the shedding of blood. There's no remission. He knew his father and mother were saved by the shedding of blood. He knew those things just exactly like I've told my congregation here the other night. Many of you who have been here for a while, you've heard the gospel go out day after day, time after time, over this broadcast, over the radio, through the printed page. And yet you tell me you're not saved, but you'll be without excuse. You'll be without excuse, my friend. As they grew up and saw those garments that they wore, I imagine they asked hundreds and hundreds of humpteen questions like my kids did when they were little about different things. But I believe it that Cain and Abel asked questions about the garments that their mother and dad wore. Where'd you get them? Who made them? All that. And they said, God made them. Jehovah Jesus made them for us. And made it. Listen. How he slew the animals. You see it, my friend? You see it? We saw, they told them kids, them two boys, we saw the Lord slay those animals, and that blood was offering as a type of the Messiah that was to come. And listen, Jehovah Jesus taught Adam and Eve directly. And then he took those skins, and we said, wove them into the most beautiful garments that man ever looked upon. Not like these skeptics and the Hoosiers do today. Well, them old rough-skinned, old bare-skinned. No, it wasn't. But no artist can paint a picture of those garments that they were made. The pictures you find in your Bibles and other places is old rugged cowhide used to make something. That's not so. God doesn't do anything like that, my friend. I want to just drive that home to your heart. How do you know? Because the righteousness I have in Christ is perfect, woven on the loom of the cross, tested in that tomb, adorned in the brightness of the resurrection, and it's the best robe that heaven has, and it'll stand that test forever. You remember the story of the prodigal son when he came home repenting, been out gone all of those days, and I often say I don't know how long he was gone, nobody does. But he came home, and when the father saw him, he ran down the hill there and fell on his neck and kissed him and began to love him. And his son said, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against thee, and I'm not no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired hands and all of those things. His father didn't want to hear that. The Lord don't want to hear all that out of you. No, but listen, you know what he did? He sent a servant. Go get that best robe. One over there we've been saving for him. Go get it. Go get it, boy. Go get it, servant. Get that best robe. Well, that's what the Lord does. Oh, my friend, he got the best robe. He got the best robe that he could make there in heaven. All right, listen. Cain's offering was the fruit of his hands, the fruit of his labor. And he showed a rebellious spirit against the word of God. Now, you know something? You folks tell me you want to be saved and you won't trust the Lord. Do you know you need to be mighty careful because you're insulting the Lord by not coming? Did you know that? You've had the invitation, come now for all things are ready. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Look to the Lamb. You have all of those gracious invitations, those gracious promises, and you spurn them. Did you know you're insulting God? Did you know you're just, as it were, spitting in his face? Did you know that, my friend? Maybe that'll cause you to think. Maybe you'll go out behind the barn and fall on your knees and confess your sins and cry unto the Lord. Go out there behind the levee. Go down on the river somewhere. Oh, my friend, but listen. And he was rebelling against the word of God, Cain was. It's amazing how little truth a person has to know to be saved. I tell my folks that all the time. You don't have to know all this Bible to be saved. No. You don't want that to be all. You don't have to do that. Listen, and Adam and Eve had enough truth to save any sinner, and they taught it to their children. And Cain and Abel knew it. They knew the scriptures. In the third place, Cain deliberately, now I want to hone in on that, deliberately ignored the sentence of God as given in Genesis 3:17 when God said, "Cursed is the ground." Oh, his offering was accursed. Therefore, God could not accept it. He could not accept the labors of Cain's hand. Neither will he accept the labors of your hand, my friend. Neither will he look upon a righteousness that you have tried to develop in your own sight, by your own hand, by working, by giving, by running, by preaching, by doing. No, you can't do that. That has no value whatsoever, my friend. Listen, the Lord could not accept the labors of his hand for an atonement for his sin, because the ground was cursed and the product of his labors were also cursed. Now, you go through the New Testament, you will find expressions like this. Your labors, our works, are works of darkness. Our works are works of evil. Our works are works of Satan. And you will find expressions like that all through the Bible. Therefore, God won't accept your works. Now, is that plain, my friend? Plain as a nose on your face that God won't accept your works, no matter what they are, no matter how religious they are, no matter how frugal you are, no matter how sincere you are, no matter what you wanted to do in giving, selling the farm and sending the money to some televangelist, that ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. No, just like I've told you before, we've had folks who stood in the soup line at Thanksgiving, Christmas time, other times down here in Louisiana where it's cold and nasty and wet, and some charitable organization makes a dinner for the homeless, and folks will go down there and dip soup just to be doing good. Well, that's a good thing, my friend, but that's not counted for salvation. That's not a step towards the Lord. Get over that, my friend. Just like Cain, his labors were cursed. Now, you go through there and you see all of those things. How many of us have tried to palm off those things on God? And I know I have, and you have too. But listen, he would not have one thing. He said, "I have the offering. Take my offering. I provided for your salvation. But you sinners won't have it." Now, you won't have it. Old prophet told Saul, he said, "It's far greater to obey than to sacrifice." You ever let that burn into your head? It's far greater to obey. Obey. What? You obey what? The Bible says, "Look unto me, all ye that labor." And listen, and then folks say, "I'm doing the best I can. I'm living good as I can." Whatever, my friend. They treat their family right. But listen, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do that. But listen, holding up those things before the Lord, thinking that it will be a feather in your cap, so to speak. Remember those old stories we used to have? Well, he made a feather in his cap by doing so and so. People are trying to do that now. And then they'll hold that up to the Lord, and one day they'll stand there before the judgment seat, and the Lord will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you." You know what that word "knew" means? It's just like the intimacy between a man and his wife. Never knew you. Never knew you. Never had that intimacy with you. I never understood. I never saw you. But that's what he'll say. And cast them out into outer darkness where they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, my friend, the old trailblazer, so burdened for so many of you at this time. My heart is heavy. My heart is sad. My heart is sore. Because I see what's coming on the earth. As I look over there in the Middle East and see all of those conditions, and then I see what's going on here in our country with the elections now and all of those things that people never would have thought would have happened. It's all building up for the soon coming of our blessed Lord. And I praise the Lord for it. One morning he'll shout. The trumpets will sound and the shout will go forth and the dead in Christ will be raised up. Why? Because Christ died. Folks trusted the Lord, believed the Lord, and they were saved. That's what the old trailblazer. You say, "How, trailblazer, how did the Lord save you?" Give me grace to trust him. Give me grace to believe his word. Give me grace to take my place as a lost sinner and cry unto the Lord for mercy. Have you ever done that, folks? My friend, you ever done that up there in Knoxville, Tennessee, old fellow? Have you ever done that? Over there in Orlando, Florida, over there in Huntsville, Alabama, up there in Charlotte, North Carolina. Y'all ever took the blame? Any of y'all ever took the blame and come to know the Lord as Lord and Savior? If you did, write me. Call me, write me. And let me just mention quickly, I just happened to think about it. We have a website, radiomission.org, and you can go there. And on Sunday, we have our regular Sunday services, Bible school at 10, worship hour at 11. And then on Sunday night and Wednesday night at 6:30, Wednesday night at 7, our services are over the internet, live streaming, live, giving out the gospel. And maybe you haven't never heard of those, but go there and pick up our website, and it'll have all of that information there. And if you can't find out how to get to it, you call me. Call the bookstore. Someone will be there Monday through Friday. Let me hear from you. Remember, and then remember, our booklet we're offering, Divine Healing, True and False. We're offering that free by Pastor L.R. Shelton. And if you would write me, my mailing address is the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Goodbye, and God bless you. Amen.